Okay, well, I'd like to switch gears a little bit and move from the story of the historical Buddha to tax preparation. You all look so excited about that. It's that time of year, and I started my business last May, so it's my first business tax year. And I'm really not very organized when it comes to that sort of accounting stuff, so I've just got a big pile of receipts and I'm in the process now of separating them out and categorizing them and putting them into a spreadsheet, and then I'll send them off to my accountant to do her magic. But I'd like to look at my bank account here. So this is not the actual state of my bank account, but this is sort of how I know if the business is doing okay by if there's money in it or not, right? So here, if the green pieces here represent money that I've put into the bank account, and the white represents money that I've paid out of it, do you think anyone can give a really confident appraisal of whether or not I made a profit this year? I mean, you might be able to hazard a guess.
Maybe a little bit.
A little bit of profit?
Minimal.
But it's sort of hard to tell when it's all mixed up like this, right? So, I'm going to open up my bank account and we're going to do what I've been doing with the spreadsheet, which is create some categories and put the money in those categories and see what happens. So, white we said was money that I paid out, right? So we'll put that here. Green is money that I paid in. Here's another paid in. Oh, here's a paid in. Oh, this is looking good. Here's a paid out. There's a paid out. There's a paid out. There's a paid out. And there's a paid in. There's a paid in. Okay, so now who can tell me if there's more money in my bank account now than when I started? Or if I have put more money in than I've taken out?
Depending on the value of each of those pieces.
Well, assume they're all equal.
Oh.
They each have the same number of pieces in them.
You're 1 unit ahead.
I'm 1 unit ahead. That's pretty good to know. And how were we able to figure that out? By taking this mass that was sort of hard to see clearly and laying it out into categories. Now, we could divide this further. Say that these round pieces, these are this is money that I've made through the work of my business. And these here, these long ones, this is money that I invested. So I already had it in my bank account when I started, and I put it into the business to help me get going. So I didn't actually earn these. So let's take those out and put them in a different category over here. And now what's happened? Have I made more money this year than I've spent? I have not, because the money that made it look like a profit was actually my investment. So now what I've done is I've analyzed my inputs and outputs. And not only do I have a clear picture of what my business is doing, but I can make some decisions based on that that are wise decisions as opposed to guesses. If I just looked at the bag and thought, "Well, it looks like I'm doing okay," and I just carried on with what I was doing, I would end up finding that I had to keep investing more money. But now I can see that I probably ought to figure out a way of making a little more money through my work, in order to be more successful next year. So this is analysis. I also have to say that I haven't finished this and I don't know how my business is actually doing. So analysis is defined as breaking something down into its constituent pieces. And we do this all the time, right? Like, we want to bake a cake, so we look in the cupboard and see if we have each of the ingredients that we need. And then we look more closely and see if we have enough of each of the ingredients that we need. And from that, we're able to make a shopping list and get everything we need to make the cake. Instead of doing what I usually do, which is, oh, I'm sure I've got enough flour, and I go to the store and I get no flour, and then I can't make my cake. So the analysis is important there, right? Or if you want to take a trip to New York. I went to New York last November to visit a friend, so I looked at the different ways I could go. I could drive, I could take the train, I could fly. And I decided, based on what I learned about those, I broke each of those down, I decided to fly. Then I broke the flying options down by cost and time and convenience, and eventually I made a decision that I feel was a good, efficient and satisfactory way to get to New York. So we're doing this all the time without even thinking about it. What was so amazing with the Buddha's discovery is that he found that he could do this to internal subjective experience. So the same way that I can break down my income and outgoing and get insights about my business and be able to take appropriate action, we can break down our internal experience of emotions or of desires, of behaviors, of thoughts, and be able to gain insight about them, and from that respond more appropriately to what's actually going on. And that's all I'm going to say about taxes. So how do we do this in our internal experience? Well, it's a skill called sensory clarity. At least that's what I call it, because that's what my teacher calls it. Other people might call it something else. The skill of concentration is an important part of meditation, and we're going to use that to help develop our tool of sensory clarity. Sensory clarity is the ability to distinguish between those different categories so that you can put them into separate sort of bins and be able to analyze what's going on with you. So we want to start by creating categories, and there are lots of ways that you can divide the experience of being into categories. You could have breathing in and breathing out. Turn that into a distinguishing practice instead of just concentration. You can have, you would have breathing in, breathing out, and distraction as a third category, if you were going to divide that into categories. You could have sitting, standing, thinking, planning, you know, whatever. There's lots of different ways to cut the pie. The way that I'm going to teach you to do it is three categories: seeing, hearing, and feeling. And I happen to have a bag of experience right here. So here we have a moment of experience made up of a bunch of stuff, right? I'm going to say seeing is blue. All right, so look around you. You see things, right? If your eyes are open, good. You can probably name things you're seeing, like cushion or Stephen or carpet. But in this set of categories, you don't have to name the specific thing. All you have to do is notice that you're seeing something. So instead of saying Stephen cushion, I would say seeing, right? So you're looking around and you see something. So there's some seeing. And then if you look around some more, you see something else? Anyone see something else besides what they just saw? Okay, so that's seeing. Good. So now close your eyes and think about something that you just saw. Maybe think of the cushion. Now, in your mind, it may not be a photographic image. In fact, it may be so vague you don't even remember what color the cushion was, but you have some sense of seeing in your mind as opposed to hearing in your mind, right? If you were to describe this to someone, you would say, in my mind, I see the cushion. So if you have an image in your mind of the cushion, then you get to call that seeing, and you put that into the seeing category. Now think of something else besides the cushion. Maybe the cushion came right back to mind because you're trying not to think about it. Well, if the cushion came right back to mind, then you get to call that seeing, and you put that experience of seeing something into the seeing category. If you had something else come up in your mind, then that's a visual image, then you would just say that's seeing and put that in the seeing category. So you can open your eyes, and the next category is hearing. Well, that one's pretty easy. Hearing is green, and you're hearing me talk, right? So when you're meditating, it doesn't matter what I'm actually saying. Right now it matters a little bit if you want to learn this, but it doesn't matter that much. But if you're meditating, you just want to be aware of the fact that you're hearing. So there's voice, and you say, oh, that's hearing, and you put it in the hearing category. So we'll be quiet for a minute and see if you hear anything else besides me. And if you don't, you can just enjoy the quiet. And if you do hear something, you can put it in the hearing category. Okay, I hear the fridge, so I'm putting that in hearing. Anyone else hear something? Okay, Stephen heard something, so there's hearing. Okay, so now we have our experience of being in this room, looking at each other, and we've got elements of seeing and elements of hearing. Now shut your eyes again, and I'm going to say a phrase, and after I say it, I want you to repeat it to yourself, okay? So the phrase is, this is hearing too. So repeat that to yourself. Remember me saying that. So can you hear that phrase in your mind? What do you think it is? What category would we put it in?
Hearing.
This is hearing too, that's right. So anything that arises in your mind that has an auditory sort of element to it goes into the hearing category. Now, again, it may not be really clear. It might be. You might be having a dialogue with yourself about, come on, isn't it lunchtime yet? You know, that's internal talk is hearing. You might be remembering that you were woken up by the dog barking last night and you hear sort of the dog barking. That's hearing. You might have a song in your head that can't get out of your brain. That's hearing. So in your thinking, if it's something that you would describe more as hearing, you put it in the hearing category. If it's more seeing, you put it in the seeing category. If you hear something externally, it goes in the hearing category. If you see something externally, it goes in the seeing category, right? So far, so good. So the last thing is feel. And feel is pink. So here we are sitting, and maybe you feel a sensation in your body. Maybe you're a little chilly, or you have an itch, or your legs are beginning to ache, or your tummy is rumbling. Does anyone feel a physical sensation in your body? Okay, we're going to call that feel. Now, you might feel lots of different physical sensations in your body. Just notice one at a time, and every time you notice one, you can throw that into the feel category. So I'm feeling a little bit in my knee. I can feel that, so that's feel. And then I just felt myself lean over like that, so that's another feel. Now, either with your eyes open or shut, you might also notice that there you have emotions. You might not, but it may be that you're having some emotion right now and that it has a physical element to it. So if you have an emotion of impatience because you really want to get to lunch, it might be a sort of tightness in your chest. And if you feel something like that, then that's feel. Or you might be really curious and excited about this. And maybe there's like just the slightest hint of a smile on your face or the feeling that you're about to smile. So that's feel. So that goes in the feel category. So now we've got see, hear, and feel. And if you sit quietly, if with your eyes closed if you want to, or you can keep them open, and just allow experience to come to you, whatever thing you notice, you're going to be able to put into one of those three categories. So maybe you have a feeling in your body, you have an itch. You notice that itch, and you can say, feel. Maybe at the same time you notice that there's an image of the body part that's itching. And then you've also got see. So you can call that feel and see. Now while you're noticing feel and see, you might hear something else, or you might feel something else. But in order to not go all frantic and crazy, just stick with one thing at a time for a few seconds. Let everything else be there. And then let something else come to your attention. So all we're doing is noticing experience and dividing it into categories.